Our ninth scripture reading and our final scripture lesson comes from John. First chapter, we'll be reading verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank You for these many scripture lessons that we've been able to read and the carols that we've been able to sing. Lord, we're thankful for the glory that is put before us as our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is lifted up in Your Word as we better understand why He came taking on flesh. Lord, even as we've been able to sing praises and minister to one another, we ask that the Spirit would continue to work as we celebrate our Savior. In His name we pray. Amen. I enjoyed from an early age reading The Hobbit and then The Lord of the Rings. I wasn't a Christian at the time, but my favorite character was Aragorn. I loved Aragorn. He gripped my heart. I don't know what it was. As a young man, I don't know if there's someone better a young boy could look up to. Aragorn was my hero. And then, years later, when the Lord saved me and He opened my eyes to His truth and my heart, and then I saw the wonderful movies, but those movies are nothing compared to the books. But as I remembered the books and as I read them again and went back to Aragorn and thought about him, I was struck with how many aspects of Aragorn's life in the book come through, particularly as we think of not an apples for apples, but a little bit of a touching on the coming and the life and ministry of our Savior. Even as you look at the way this Aragorn was known as Strider, though he was the rightful king, ruler of men, and yet he had no home. He lived in the wilderness. He didn't even have the honor of his name being used. There were only a few who knew who he truly was until the time when he came. He stepped forward, if you know the stories, and he saved the world of men. It is a great story. Of course, that story is nothing compared to the reality and the truth of God's redemptive history. Even as we've been hearing this evening, as we've been reading through these lessons and we've been singing these carols, we began our scripture readings tonight in Genesis. That's where you have to begin to understand the creation of man and then the fall. The fall, which brought in sin, which then helps us have a greater context and understanding the incarnation, why the Lord Jesus Christ would come. We came all the way through and we ended here in the gospel according to John as we see the truth, the reality proclaimed. Lord Jesus Christ, He is the God-man. He is the Eternal One, God the Son, second person of the Trinity, creator of all things. The glory that was seen by John and the disciples. We read through all these lessons, starting in Genesis and then moving our way. We didn't cover the entire story. We didn't go to Revelation and see what is ahead of us in the new heavens and the new earth at the return of King Jesus. But we see a big picture. Hopefully we've gotten a nice context set for us so that we might be able to understand the significance of the incarnation. Not only the significance of it in history and redemptive history, but the significance for you as you think about why does it matter? Why does it particularly matter in your life? Well, our readings that we've read through, particularly our last reading, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, show us that Jesus is the God-man who came to save his people. That's been before us. And first we see that Jesus is the God-man. Incarnation is not the beginning of the Word. That can be confusing for some people. I think, well, he was born. Yes, that was God the Son taking on flesh. We can even go to chapter 17 here in John in verse 5, and it speaks of the Son's glory that he shared with the Father in eternity past. So we know that this is a taking on of flesh. This is not a beginning of Christ. Even as we read in Genesis, the pre-incarnate Christ was the one walking in the garden, calling out for Adam and Eve. So we understand that as we look through the Scriptures, crying out to them in the beginning of our lessons there. In John, we read that he is the Son. He is the Son. He is begotten of the Father. Not a start. Is his eternal being, eternal Trinitarian relationship, Father, Son, Spirit. And then we read in John that the disciple John and the other disciples, they beheld the glory of the incarnate second person of the Trinity. And the Greek word here, when it talks about seeing, it's more than just the fact that they saw it, but it goes to the fact that they were in wonderment and they were contemplating what it is that they had seen, what had been revealed to them. They were in awe as they had witnessed and seen Christ. We think, wow, how amazing would that be? And yet the Spirit blesses us with the same wonderment and awe as we come to God's Word and He opens our eyes to the truth as we read it. Even as we read our lessons this evening, we spent time in amazement, beholding the glory of Christ. As we're celebrating His incarnation together on this Wednesday evening, even as we think about one day for all those in Christ, trusting in Him, we will not just read the Word and behold Christ's glory, but we will behold Christ's glory face to face. And the new heavens and the new earth. So we look forward to that. The consummation of God's covenant promise. I will be your God. You will be my people. And I will dwell with you forever. Second person of the Trinity, as we read here, assumed the human nature. He did that without laying aside his divine nature. There's a lot going on. We don't have time to get into that in this simple message here during lessons and carols. It's a mystery, like the Trinity. There's much that's revealed to us, and thank the Lord that He has revealed that. We see the two natures in one person in Christ, the divine and the human, not joined, not changed, mixed, or confused there. Maybe one way we can think about it, another way we can see the glory of Christ and sit in amazement and awe, thinking about the incarnation. As Mary held baby Jesus, even moments after birth, taking on flesh, conceived in the Holy Spirit, born, she's holding her child in Christ. That moment, his divine nature is holding the universe together. Even as we read in Colossians chapter 1, it's mind-blowing. It drives us to worship. We look at the incarnation, we're also reminded as Hebrews points out, reminded of who our Savior is, the impact that it made that He took on flesh, the impact the incarnation has on your life and on all of our lives. The fact that we have a high priest who sympathizes with us. You know, it's one thing to feel sorry or to feel pain for someone, but it's another thing to be able to come alongside them, having walked that very road and coming and encouraging them the love of Christ and pointing them to Christ, but knowing at least somewhat the pain that they have gone through, or perhaps even those who have celebrated in ways that only some have achieved. But the Lord Jesus Christ in the incarnation, His life, His ministry here on earth, He knows Christ just like you. He knows what it's like to be alone. Jesus knows what it's like to be isolated at times. Jesus knows what it's like to be loved by all who want Him because of what He can do for them. He knows what it is like to be hated. Jesus knows what it's like to be abused. Jesus knows what it's like to be mocked and ridiculed and made fun of. Jesus knows what it's like, on probably a level we cannot understand, to be conspired against, to be insulted and humiliated. Jesus knows what it's like to be sinned against. And Jesus, in this, He shows His compassion, His willingness, and the humiliation to take on flesh and to live the perfect life that we couldn't live. You remember the fall in Genesis we read as our first lesson. Being lost in sin, separated forever from the holy God. God the Son, Jesus came, took on flesh, lived under His own law, keeping the law we cannot keep, keeping it for His people. Going to the cross so that the sins of His people might be laid upon Him, that He would then die an atoning death to pay the debt that cannot be paid. Raised from the dead, ascended, reigning now, the right hand of God the Father, ruling King of Kings and Lord of Lords. These are all the things that we are celebrating. We celebrate it every Sunday. We celebrate it every day. And we're celebrating it together this evening. Second, we see that Jesus is our Redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ is the source of all physical life. But we even see here in this passage in John, and even where we've been reading this evening, He's not just the source of physical life, but He's the source of spiritual life, eternal life, and life abundant, as we read in the Gospels. Jesus is not the first created or first creation, as some might wrongly claim, but He is the Creator. We read that from God's Word. That has been told to us and revealed from our God, and we can trust that. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So as we continue our celebration, the days ahead of the incarnation of Christ, we remember that He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our Redeemer. We keep our hearts fixed upon that truth at all times. And in God's condescending grace, we see the climax of this in the incarnation and the purpose of it. Lord Jesus Christ, again, taking on flesh in order to save His people from their sins. Greatest need that everyone has. The one thing that no person can overcome, no matter how hard they try, no matter what family they're born into, there is no way to overcome the sin gulf, the guilt before their Creator. That's why He came. We read about that, the promises. Starting back in Genesis, after the fall, when God said He was going to deal with it. He was going to take care of this problem. Then we worked our way through the promises in Isaiah, and we continued to move our way, and we read Luke, Matthew, Hebrews, John. The Lord Jesus Christ, that's why He came. God's gift of salvation is priceless. And while it can't be earned or bought, it is freely given. If you're listening right now and you don't know Christ, you have no relationship with Him, you don't trust in Him, you don't have any belief, perhaps you came with friends or family, or you thought it would be fun to do a Christmas tradition, go to one of these Lessons and Carols celebrations that have been happening for about 100 years now. Well, I'd encourage you right now to pray, to cry out, to look to the Lord, to look to Christ, to believe in Him, receive this free gift of salvation, trusting in the adoption into God's family. Now for Christians, as we are concluding our reading, about to sing our last carol together, I want to encourage you to remember our purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. So let's enjoy Him. Let's enjoy the greatest gift that He's given. The gift of salvation, the gift of adoption, the gift of forgiveness. And as we spend time with our family, let's encourage one another with that great truth. Spend time with our friends, encourage them. And let's do it not just this week, but every week. Whether it's July or December, Sunday, Wednesday, Tuesday. Maybe something that is overflowing from our hearts. It's great truth. We hang tightly to that Jesus is the God-man who came to save His people from their sins. Oh Lord, we thank You for the many readings that we've had. We ask the Spirit would take them and work great fruit in the lives of all those who are here. And Father, we thank You. We thank You for the incarnation of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for God the Son coming, redeeming His people, ruling and reigning over all things. Thankful for the Spirit who indwells us and brings us into union with Christ, who brings us into fellowship with You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us sing our final carol together. We're going to stand, if you're able, for this one. If not, we're still all going to sing with great joy. Joy to the world, the Lord is come.